Good morning. Well, I don't know if you want to, if you like snow, it's a good morning. It's snowing in Northfield, Minnesota on this Tuesday, the 20th day of March. And of course, this is 2018, and spring will arrive in Northfield, Minnesota at about 11:15 this morning. And I welcome it. Have an interesting guest in studio today. We're going to hear some music and conversation with an author, a songwriter, a banjo player, and more. But before we get to our guest this morning, I got to tell you something. I was absolutely shocked yesterday. I was had been at some meeting or whatever, and I was driving through town, and I saw a sign displaying the price of gas. And I said to myself, well, it seems to me I just passed a gas station, and the price was different. So to make a long story short, too late, I drove around and looked at all the signs at the various gas stations in town, and I actually found three different prices. I have not seen that as long as I can remember. In Northfield, every gas station has the exact same price, and then you go to the cities or you go to different communities and you see that there are different prices. But in Northfield, they're all the same. And I just said, wow, this is amazing. So I drove around and I found some gas selling, this is regular gasoline, $2.449. Then I found another one at $2.48.9. And another one at $2.49.9. So we're talking a nickel a difference in gasoline here in Northfield. And I have to say, I haven't seen that forever. At one time, many years ago, I'm sure it has to be 25 years ago, there was a fella that made it a point to check out gas prices. And he would report in like once a week. He'd call in and he'd say, well, here are the prices in Northfield. And it would be one price, period, at all gas stations. And then he would give New Prague and Lonsdale and Cannon Falls and Farmington. And the prices were all different. But in Minnesota, in Northfield, they were always the same. So hats off to the people that run gas stations here in Northfield. I guess you call them now convenience stores. 244.9, 248.9, and 249.9. That is pretty amazing. I don't know about you, but that just kind of excited me. I remember Dundas, when they had that convenience store out in Dundas, that they would be 3 cents lower than Northfield all the time. It is 7 minutes after 9 o'clock and time for me to introduce you to my guest this morning. And what's kind of funny about this is when I had my music director, Mr. John Hiscox, tell me that this gentleman was willing to join us on the air. I said, well, of course, what is his name? And he said, Alan. I said, Alan? He says, yeah, Alan. I said, well, what about the last name? He said, I can't spell it, so I don't know what it is. So I said, well, we'll find out. And I heard on Kim this morning, Nevalanen or something like that. Alan, please pronounce your last name for me.
Nevalainen.
Nevalainen, okay. Yep. Nevalainen. Why not? That looks good. Right. It looked like a D on this one, but it's Nevalainen. Okay. Well, welcome to the Wayne Eddy Affair, Alan.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
And if you want to work that mic a little closer, I'd appreciate it.
Yep.
Bring it to you. So, where are you from?
Originally, I'm from the Iron Range, but we've lived south of New Prague going on 4 years now.
So how do you like southern Minnesota compared to northern Minnesota?
Oh, I love it. It's beautiful. It's you don't feel quite as landlocked. You can look out and see the horizon living up north. Trees everywhere.
Damn trees. And say that town again that you're from?
Originally, I was born in Virginia, Minnesota.
Virginia, okay. Mm-hmm. And then you grew up where?
Grew up in the Iron Range. The town was called Zim. I lived there until junior high, and then went to high school down in Rochester. So I've kind of been all corners of the state.
Yeah. That's I had a couple of guests yesterday from Rochester, and when we get done here, I'm going down to Rochester.
All right. Yeah.
So it's a growing community.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yep.
You know, I used to hang around with a guy. As a matter of fact, we were roommates, and he was from Grand Rapids.
Mm-hmm.
And he came down to St. Paul, went to work for 3M, and my mom worked there, and I was looking for a roommate, and she hooked us up. And he took me up to Grand Rapids to visit one time. Now, this is when I was probably 22, 21, and I got to Grand Rapids, and we stayed at his house, and I had to call somebody that was one of his buddies, and they handed me the phone book, and it was, I could have read off every name in that phone book in about 5 minutes. Then I only had to dial like four numbers, and I'm thinking, wow, this is a small town. Well, then we went out and had a lot of fun, and one of his friends had a girlfriend, he thought, and she didn't think so. And I was dancing with her and all that. Well, this guy wanted to kill me. And my friend took off. He was mad at me because I was messing with his buddy's girlfriend or whatever. It looks like you may have been in that position once or twice.
I don't think so. But goodness, yeah.
So I went and stayed at the local hotel, and I thought it's called Lake Pokegama Hotel.
Oh, okay.
And it was a dump. And the next morning, my friend came and found me. We didn't have cell phones in those days.
Sure.
And when I got back to his mother's house and dad, she reamed me a new one. Hmm. You are a guest of mine, and you go and stay in that lousy hotel? What are my friends going to say that I'm hosting somebody from the cities, and they stay in that hotel? I said, wow, this is a small town.
Yeah.
And that's my story. Then that was right about the time they opened up, not Sugar Hill, but some ski operation.
Yeah, I was just going to say, my memory of Grand Rapids is my first time skiing out at Giants Ridge.
Yeah, yep. There you go.
And what a horrible day it was for me. Yeah. First time skiing or snowboarding is just dismally painful. And then after that, it gets better.
Yeah. And, of course, isn't that where Judy Garland?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the golden brick road with the golden sidewalks.
Yep.
And, of course, fishing. A lot of good fishing in Grand Rapids.
Oh, yeah.
And, no, that's Park Rapids I was thinking of. Anyhow.
Still good fishing up there.
Now we know that you led a life that's going to be pretty interesting. And what I like to do is introduce you as a musician and play a little something and then come back and continue our conversation.
Sure.
You're a young man, I asked, and you told me you graduated in 1995, mm-hmm. 2005, 2015. Two more years, you're going to have your 25th class reunion.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I graduated down in Rochester, it was like 525, so I don't know if I'd recognize anybody if I went down there.
Was that like Rochester Marshall? Or
I went to John Marshall. I graduated from John Marshall. I originally went to Mayo for about a year and a half, and then switched schools. We moved halfway.
You know, we should have a contest, and I. We should, during a break or during maybe play a full song off your top 10 and write down all the schools we went to.
Oh, wow.
And,
okay.
Or better yet, what we'll do is that I'm older, so I'll tell you my first school, then you tell me your first school, then I'll tell you my second, and see if one of us can continue once the other is done. All right?
Yeah, that'd be fun.
All right. 9:13 on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio, a friend you can count on. Alan is with me here in the KYMN studios. Nevalainen.
Yep, you got it.
Nevalainen. It's got to be there. Nevalainen. Okay. Well, Alan, here we are.
Good enough.
And one of the things I enjoy is when a musician stops in and uses his instrument in studio live. And I'd like to have you do that right now. And then you can choose when you want to sing. And you can, you know you're going to get one request from me.
Well, yeah, what's that?
Oh, you know what it is.
Jesse James?
No. Do you have one called Jesse James?
Yeah, there's a tune that we start out our jam sessions with every time, Jesse James. We just do the instrumental. There's a lot of lyrics to it.
But who's we?
Well, I host a jam session at the Montgomery Brewery twice a month, and so it's whoever shows up. Okay. Most of the time, John is there, and the rest of my band is also there most of the time.
So you have a band?
I do, yeah.
And what's the name of the band?
The band's called the Back Porch String Band.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Yeah, so we travel around, usually just locally here, Montgomery. We play quite a bit. We just did a private gig at in Farmington last week for St. Patty's Day.
Big bucks, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't know why I even need an 8 to 5, right?
Yeah. what do you do 8 to 5, by the way?
IT, project management.
Okay. Yeah. We've talked about that.
Yeah.
And I see you have your – do you want to describe your banjo?
Yeah. I'm playing an open back old-time wonder. Vega is the brand. Vega was originally on its own, and Deering owns them now. So this was actually made by Deering, but it's a Vega old time wonder. I'm gonna see if I can get it around.
Oh, he's taking off his headphones. He got his strap involved in that. There we go. You know, there's one that I'm gonna ask you to play.
Yeah, well, which one is that?
Well, the one that everybody recognizes.
Oh, you mean the dueling banjos?
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
goodness.
Yes.
I am not. I could probably do that. I could probably do that beginning lick, but that's probably about it. I have a. I'm going to try not to get too much in the weeds here, but I play what's called clawhammer style of playing. So I strum a little bit differently than the traditional finger rolling style, like Scruggs and things. So my style is kind of a blend of frailing and clawhammer, and you'll see when I start playing how it kind of looks a little different.
Frailing and clawhammering.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I have no idea what they mean, but I've heard that expression.
Right.
But I don't recall what it is. Right here live on KYMN Radio, 95.1 FM, The One, and, of course, 1080 AM. Since 1968, celebrating 50 years come September. I like that. I like that. That's fun.
Yeah, that tune's called the Arkansas Traveler.
Okay, I've heard it before, yep. And I, of course, couldn't name it. Dun, 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 dun. It seems to me like you were doing the up and down notes without using the frets.
So, yeah, the clawhammer is pretty much a downstroke, and then you rest your thumb on the high fifth string, uh-huh. And then you pluck it out, so...
Oh, okay. So that thing you're having, wearing on your middle finger.
That's to protect my fingernail.
Oh, but is that the claw hammer?
Well, no, they call it clawhammer because you're kind of, your hand is shaped like a claw while you're doing it. You keep your hand kind of in a static motion.
Did you use all the fingers?
Nope, I just use the middle finger here and the thumb.
Okay.
The middle finger is where, you know, I have a pick here again to protect my, my fingernail. But
well, when you say protect your fingernail, it sounds sissy.
It sure does, but eventually, over and over again, your nail, the metal string, just starts wearing away at your nail, and it gets,
I believe it. Yeah. How about the thumb?
The thumb is usually fine. I mean, just like all your other fingers, you'll end up getting calloused around the fingers.
Is that good?
Yeah. Then it doesn't hurt.
So you've been playing that for about 5 years. Did you start on a guitar?
No, I actually cannot play guitar. I mean, I probably could figure it out. I started playing... Oh, my goodness. I started playing a harmonica just to do some kind of music. It was a way for me to kind of relax from the day of work and only think about one thing. And then I played that for a little bit and then thought, hey, let's see what these string instruments are. See if I have the coordination for it. See if my computer can do two different things at once. And so I bought a ukulele, played a ukulele, was figuring out if I had the coordination for it and kind of enjoyed it. And then, so I was like, oh, well, let's, and sorry for all the ukulele players, but I said, let's find a real string instrument, with metal strings. And so then I listened to a lot of Americana music, Avett Brothers, for example, and the banjo kind of drew me in, and I started playing the banjo after that.
Okay, well, Tiny Tim has passed away, so you won't be offending him.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of Tiny
Yes,
Tim?
I have. He's fantastic, okay.
Can you do Tiptoe Through the Tulips and...
Yeah, you know, I did play the Over the Rainbow medley that I believe he did. I kind of just found whatever song, you know, and started picking on it.
Well, it seems that we're going to have an interesting story about your life, that you picked up an instrument down at the harmonica, Horner.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I had a guy in here from Germany.
Okay.
That was a master on the Horner.
Sure.
And he explained all the different reeds. Tell me if I'm using the right expressions. And he had like seven of them, and he played each one to show the difference in the sound and the tunes. And I asked him if he remembered the Harmonicats, which he did, and you are too young to remember them. But they would be on like the Milton Berle show, but you probably never heard of Merle Burton.
I have heard of him. Yeah.
And they'd be on the Tonight Show, and they'd be on Sid Caesar, and maybe Dinah Shore back in there. And there'd be like maybe five of them. And they all had different sizes harmonicas. And then the little guy, what's politically correct? Vertically challenged.
Okay, that'll work.
He'd come out with a huge one, which was funny. And then he would try to get into the music, and they'd keep pushing him away from the rest of them. And it was a comedic act, but they were really good harmonica players. And now you give me an opportunity. Are you ready?
Okay.
First of all, folks, if you just tuned in, I have a guest by the name of Alan Nevalainen.
Nevalainen.
Nevalainen. Nevalainen.
Okay. We'll get it. By the end of the show, we'll get it. But, yeah.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Nevalainen.
Nevalainen who?
Nevalainen to your mom or to your dad? No. I'm sorry.
No, that's good.
The joke. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay. This is an old joke for a lot of listeners, but like my wife, when I have something that I say when we're out in society and all that, she's heard it 100 times. And I tell her, I said, but it's different people. They haven't heard this yet. Do you think a comedy guy does one act and he's done? No. So here we go.
Okay.
Did you hear about the guy that loved to play the harmonica so much that he married a woman with every other tooth missing?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You can steal that when you're playing.
I'm going to write it down. I'm writing it down right now.
Well, while you're doing that, I'm going to talk about the QB, the Quarterback Club, located on Highway 3 and 3rd Street in downtown Northfield. Let me tell you right now that they're serving breakfast until 10 o'clock, and they do that every morning, Monday through Saturday. And they're fast, they're quick, they're inexpensive, they're locally owned, locally managed. You'll see people in there you know. You'll chat and have a nice lunch or dinner or takeout, whatever you want. And they have an extensive menu. It's not just a burger place. They do have those delicious flame-broiled turkeys. Where am I going? Flame-broiled burgers. And of course, they have baby-back barbecued ribs with mountains of madness oozing all over them in the form of their very special sauce. Mmm. Quarterback Club, locally owned, locally managed on Highway 3 and 3rd Street in Northfield. Be sure you give them a try at least once a week. We're back with our guest here on KYMN Radio. Alan, every time I say your name, you just say your last name. We have Alan
Nevelainen
here, Nevelainen, and he is a banjo player, an author, a singer, and even more. And how about if you want to sing a song?
Yeah, I can sing a song.
Or whatever you got lined up, do it in the order you want.
Yeah, the only thing is I'm in a different tuning right now, so I had one other song in this tuning, and then I just need to retune
well, you
for
just
the next song.
Do,
so,
what, do you have like a playlist down in front of you?
Yeah.
Okay, follow that, okay?
All right. So,
ladies and gentlemen, here's Alan.
All right. This next one is Simple Gifts.
I liked it.
All right.
When you do your song, we have two mics there, so you can do one on.
Okay. Thank you.
I'll control it over here and mix it. And I'm not the pro that you may have worked with in a studio in the past, but it'll come out all nice. And we record this, and you can download it for future reference.
Yeah.
And we'll find out more about you. And we're going to take a brief break, and then I'm going to come back, and we're going to learn more about you, wherever you're born, and mom and dad, and grandma
Perfect.
And grandpa,
yeah,
and
exciting.
Siblings, and all of that. And we'll do that in just a moment here on KYMN Radio. We are definitely a friend you can count on. I got to move something here on my computer. Whoops, I can't get it out of the... I need somebody to help me. Well, I'm going to play a song off a CD and see if I can find Terry or somebody to oh, wait a minute. I learned one time that if you go like this, you know, yeah, Terry, I can't get at my, you know what I mean?
Your music.
Okay, here comes Terry. She pushes a button and she's.
What music?
No, I need to get at play. I can't get it to play because it's behind there.
When I
want to play some, this has to, okay.
Residential or commercial, Cannon Valley Water
right.
in Dundas is the place to call for water. Whether it's a complete water conditioning system or just salt delivery and filters, Cannon Valley Water can take care of it. And Cannon Valley Water can also deliver Candy Yohai premium water right to your house or business at great rates, too. Chippewa Springs is as pure today as it was when we first tested it over a century ago and is proudly distributed by Cannon Valley Water. Pickups are now located at 609 Stafford Lane in Dundas, just behind Aldi. Call Cannon Valley for your water today.
I love Grandpa's new home. There's so much to do. That's right. Millstream Commons helps improve the lives of seniors through all kinds of fun activities. Personalized care from a dedicated and well-trained staff, amazing creative meals prepared fresh every day and served in a social setting, live-to-be-healthy fitness classes, private apartments with all the amenities of home, and a place to continue your relationships with family and loved ones. Millstream Commons, your vibrant life continues here.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Wayne Eddy Affair on your radio station. This is KYMN. We are the 95.1 FM, and of course, for almost 50 years now, 1080 AM. And in studio, I have a gentleman, and his name is Alan...
Nevalainen.
Good. Say that again.
Nevalainen.
Nevalainen. All right. And okay, we've heard a couple of tunes on the banjo. We're also going to hear you sing. Mm-hmm. And in addition to that, talk about you being an author, mm-hmm. whatever that means. In the meantime, we're going to find out again. You were born in Virginia?
I was born up in Virginia, Minnesota. Yep.
Okay. And how long did you live there?
We lived in a town called Zim, Z-I-M, until... just before seventh grade for me, so 89.
Oh, yep. That's pretty stable.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, we were up in the woods. Fun fact, I don't know if it was a fun fact, but we didn't have running water till I was about 8 or 9. So that was kind of fun to, I don't know, now I look back at it and have a great appreciation for, where I started.
Yeah, I've talked to people that didn't have indoor plumbing, didn't have running water, wood stoves, but they are all much older than you are. Mm-hmm. Let me see if I can guess how old you are, all right? 40.
Yeah, right on the money.
Okay.
Yep.
And so to the seventh grade, that's quite a long time, so this is going to be interesting. What did your parents do for a living up there in Zim?
Yeah. My mom stayed home with us. My dad worked at the mines up in the Iron Range there. He worked at the Eveleth mine and worked there until at some point when they did cutbacks, he was laid off and went back to school. And so then he went back to school at UMD in Duluth and got a degree in computer science. My dad's a math whiz, so he was picked up right away to go work down with IBM down in Rochester.
Well, here's the deal. Just with the minimal facts that you've given me, it seems like maybe your parents were from the flower generation.
Oh.
you know, the 60s, 70s, yeah. The peace and, mm-hmm. And the flowers and the gun barrels and the long hair and the good times.
I've seen some pictures of my dad with some long curly locks, and he wore this, I don't know if it was a cowboy hat or not, but he wore a hat with long hair and probably would look like what you would think somebody from then would look like. But that I never knew him with long hair.
But I'm confused. I assume that when you're working in the mines, you're making good money.
That's a good question. I really couldn't answer that. I know that he worked enough to put food on the table and get clothes on our back.
But no water in the house.
But no water. He was working on it. But, yeah we ended up moving before that ended up happening.
Did he build it himself?
It was a trailer house, so he was working on the well and the sewer system on his own.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
I have an older brother.
What's his name?
My older brother's name is Aaron.
Aaron. Yep. Okay.
And my sister's name is Rachel.
Where's Rachel? Is she in the between you and Aaron?
Or? She's the youngest. Yep.
Okay, so it's Aaron, you, and Rachel.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And what? How much older is Aaron?
Just about 2 years.
Okay, and how young? Much younger is Rachel?
1 year.
Oh, so you're boom. You're,
yep.
Right you're together.
Yeah, right in a row.
All right.
Yep.
So you said you lived in a trailer house,
mm-hmm.
or you know, to be you know, politically correct, you lived in a
mobile home, maybe. Is
yeah,
what,
mobile yeah, home. Yeah. Yeah. So no, I just don't. Was it out in the woods, some distance?
Yeah, I mean, Zim was kind of a township. It wasn't really a town, so it was. Yeah, it was in the woods. I mean, we had power, so it wasn't. You know,
how close was your nearest neighbor?
Well, my aunts and my uncles, we all kind of lived in the same area. So it was, I mean, from a neighborhood perspective, yeah, we had neighbors. They were our cousins.
But it wasn't a mobile home park.
Mm-mm.
You had your different areas.
Yep.
And did you go out and cut wood?
Well, I was still young yet, but yeah, my dad cut wood, and we, my dad would go to the freshwater spring every other week, and we would collect rainwater and snow for boiling, for bathwater and things. And yeah, so I helped out, I think, a little bit. I don't remember it being too awful hard work for me, so I think my parents shielded me from some of that, but yeah.
I'm trying to picture a bathtub in the mobile home and the stove going with all the hot water. And does your dad have a beard?
No, we kind of joke about that. He, my brother and I both have beards, but my dad, he's, now that he's newly retired, he's got nothing but time, so he can probably sit and grow a beard now.
You know, going from a miner to IT, I should ask, what part of the mine was he employed? Because they, of course, have administrative, mm-hmm. where you know, are in an office and mm-hmm. white shirt and tie or whatever.
He loaded the trains. So, yeah, he was, I think it was a machine operator, but he would basically load up the train cars as they go by, I believe.
Okay, so mm-hmm. he was a manual laborer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, blue collar.
Yep.
And while you were going to school, which school did you go to, Virginia?
So, no, we went to school. I went to elementary school in Forbes, which is a small town next to Zim. And then after Forbes closed, I went to school in Cherry, which is a town probably 20 minutes from Hibbing.
Should we have our contest now?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Yep.
PS31, which is on the corner of Rice and County Road C on the east, north side of St. Paul.
Okay. That was your first school?
Yeah, 31. Okay.
Okay. So my first school would have been Forbes Elementary School.
Okay. My next one was St. John's Catholic School in Little Canada.
Oh, okay. My next one would be Cherry School, and that was a combination of elementary, junior high, and high school.
My next school was Immaculate Heart of Mary in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Wow. My next school would have been Kellogg Junior High School in Rochester.
My next school was Blessed Sacrament Catholic School on Wiper Avenue.
Okay. My next school would have been Mayo High School in Rochester.
My next school was St. Matthew's on Winifred and Wabasha on St. Paul's west side.
Okay.
I mean, we call it the west side, but it's really south.
Yeah, I was going to say. So
but it's the west side of the river.
Diagonal. My next school.
I forgot to write it down. St. Sure. Matthew's. Okay. All right, your turn.
John Marshall High School in Rochester.
Okay. St. Thomas Military Academy in St. Paul.
Okay. Rochester Community College was after John Marshall.
Harding High School in St. Paul.
Bemidji State University was my next school.
Central High School in St. Paul.
Wow. I'm done.
Back to Harding High School in St. Paul.
Wow.
And Brown Institute. Then Harvard, Princeton, and Yale.
My goodness.
You didn't know that, did you? You know, I forgot one. I forgot Sacred Heart on the east side. So, 1, 2, 3, 4. I haven't done this. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
11 schools.
So,
yeah. That's
so we have something in common, my friend.
Yeah, a lot you of know? Schools, yeah.
Now, was that traumatic for you to be bouncing from school to school?
No. Actually, no, I don't remember that being bad at all. I mean, it's you know, never easy to get a new batch of friends and things, but I knew from the middle school that I went to, I knew kids that went to both of the high schools. So when I changed high schools in Rochester, that wasn't much of a transition because I knew some kids.
How come you had to change schools? Did you move physically? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the south part of town. At the time, there was only two public high schools, Mayo and John Marshall, and then there was a Catholic school, Leward, and Century High School, which is there now, wasn't there when I was to school there. So if you were on the south side of town, you went to Mayo. If you're on the north side of town, you went to John Marshall.
Okay.
Yep.
And you moved across town?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Where did your mom and dad come from originally?
Yeah, my dad was born up in Chisholm, Minnesota. So he was up on the Iron Range his whole childhood. And then my mom is from the south side of Chicago originally, and then she moved up to northern Minnesota when she was in her late teens, early 20s.
To work at a resort or something?
No, she just moved up there. They wanted to get out of the city, and
by that you mean
their whole family went up there. Yeah, all right. Yeah. So their whole family went up there and just wanted to get away and bought a little hobby farm up there, and that was
cool. Yeah. I mean, yeah, Chicago.
Yeah,
and even now it's worse.
Right.
So. Did you have an opportunity? Oh, by the way, you're mentioning Eveleth, and you're mentioning mm-hmm. Virginia, and you're mentioning another community. Have you ever heard of John Mayazich?
No, I haven't. Your shoulders sank. I should know this.
Yes. Have you ever been to the Hockey Hall of Fame?
I have.
Well, John Mayazich is the man.
Oh, okay.
He's the one that's done it all. He was... The highest scoring everything at the University of Minnesota, 2 Olympics.
Yeah, you know what? The funny thing about hockey is I can skate really well and I can handle a puck really well. I just can't do them both at the same time. So, so I never really drew much to hockey.
All right. So when you're folks, your grandma and grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
Got sick of Chicago,
mm-hmm.
so they moved up north.
Yep.
And did you have a lot of aunts and uncles from that side of the family?
Yeah, my mom and dad both came from a family of six as far as siblings go. So my mom had mostly sisters, two brothers. So I had plenty of aunts and uncles up there with me, and my dad had all brothers, so some of them were up north as well, but others had moved away. One of my uncles is down in Rockford, Illinois, and another one of my uncles was out in Wisconsin, who has passed away now. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, so I had plenty of exposure to my cousins and aunts and uncles.
That is fun, isn't it?
Yeah, it was.
I'm talking to a gentleman that is a banjo player, singer, author, and young. His name is Alan...
Nevelainen.
Thank you. That's an easy way out for me.
Yeah, no problem.
So, Ellen, when your grandparents moved up north and brought their kids with, one of them, of course, your mother,
mm-hmm.
where did as a young boy, what was it like in reference to family dynamics? Did you go to grandma and grandpa's at Christmas time? You had two sets. Yeah. How did that work out?
Yeah, my mom's family was in Zim, so we would call them Grandma and Zim. And then my dad's parents were in Hibbing, so we called them Grandma and Grandpa in town. And so Christmas Eve, we were at Grandma and Zim's, and then I think Christmas Day, we would be up in Grandma and Town's. So yeah, we kind of split it up and found a way to hit both sides of the family.
Now, you mentioned your mom's parents had mm-hmm. a hobby farm.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did you ever go out there like during the summer and help work? And what did you do if you did?
Yeah, I didn't have any of the exposure to the farming until I met my wife. But the hobby farm was pretty much done by the time I was a kid. So the one good memory that I had was we would walk out with my grandpa. He had lots of dogs in different spots along the yard. And so we would walk with his wagon full of dog food, and we would feed all the dogs. And that was a good memory for me, but it wasn't actual farm chores per se, but mm-hmm. I would help Grandpa feed the dogs.
Well, why do you have a bunch of dogs?
That's a really good question. I am not sure. They were all big dogs. Maybe they were just watchdogs, but yeah.
Were they pets?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
it wasn't, you know, didn't have a dog farm.
No, they weren't breeding at all. It was just, big dogs. And I think if I had to guess, I'd say maybe watchdogs, because if there was something in the yard, they would be barking.
What is the nationality of your last name?
My last name is Finnish. So, yeah, my dad is half Finnish, and the rest is kind of Eastern European. Oh. My mom is black, so...
Your mom is black?
Mm-hmm. And so there's kind of a mixture of all sorts of things there.
How did that go?
Yeah.
Of course, during your mom and dad's era, mm-hmm. I mean, that's when things started relaxing in regards to interracial marriage. Mm-hmm. Your grandparents, of course, would probably say, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, yeah. I think, I think I would say that my parents were still, you know, pioneers from that perspective, I think. It was, yeah, I would agree. It was probably on the beginning of that change, but it was still, I think there were probably some interesting conversations that I wasn't privy to with both parents as they were explaining that they're getting married. So, yeah, no, growing up, I didn't have any, I didn't know any different, I guess, you know, but yeah.
Which one of your parents is Caucasian?
My dad.
Your dad is, yep. Okay. We just had house guests, and my wife's niece, a Norwegian,
mm-hmm.
Married a Puerto Rican.
Sure.
And their kids are beautiful.
Right.
Beautiful. Now, when I walked in the studio, it never crossed my mind that
right.
you may be what we used to, now remember, I'm an old guy,
yeah.
Call mulattoes.
Mulatto, I've heard the
which
term.
Which I don't think was a derogatory term.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, in my opinion,
yeah.
a mulatto woman, a beautiful mulatto woman
mm-hmm.
is the most beautiful woman
sure. yeah.
around.
Yeah, no, I think context is everything there in terms of the word usage. But yeah, no, I've heard that term. I don't use it myself. I usually just explain it by thanking my mom for the tan that I have.
But, yeah.
yeah.
Well, it didn't strike me.
Yeah.
Now that you say that,
sure.
I can see the features.
Yep.
But I certainly didn't when I was chit-chatting. We just met in the studios, folks, about 45 minutes ago.
Yep.
So that's pretty yeah. interesting. Now,
so the you know, the interesting thing is that my, like you said, I've had people speak to me in Arabic. I've had people speak to me in Spanish and Italian, and you know, making a guess.
Yeah.
And I'm like, sorry.
Okay. Well, in this day and age,
yeah.
Have you ever had any people that if you see something, say something type deal?
No. I have not.
Are you waiting for that?
Part? Yeah, although you'd look at my driver's license, and I'm sure they might look a couple of times and kind of do a double take. But no, I haven't. I haven't experienced anything. Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
You still have hair?
Do I still have hair?
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's wearing a cap
yeah.
that says, I don't know.
Masabi.
Masabi it's Range.
The, yeah.
yeah. Yeah, okay. And he's got a nice black beard, thick.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not real long, but just thick
mm-hmm.
and good looking.
Yeah.
Nice mustache.
Thank you. Nice.
Yeah. And brown eyes.
Yep.
And my friends that were here visiting, the Norwegian and the Puerto Rican, their kids have, the twins have blue eyes, bluish green.
Sure.
And other boy, the younger boy, has brown eyes. Yep. But when you get those green and blue eyes on a dark-skinned individual,
yeah.
I mean, they just radiate, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I only have one. My youngest, my daughter's got brown eyes, but my boys both have, one has blue and one has kind of a grayish-blue eyes. Yeah.
Okay, but they're both
The boys are the
same color on the same head.
Yeah, my boys are lighter complexion. My daughter's probably the darkest complected of the three.
So when did you know you were different?
When did I know I was different? Oh, when I was born.
Well, I mean, you know, you grew up in the woods.
Yeah.
And so you're limited to, for the first 7-6 years, you're limited to where you're going to go and
mm-hmm.
all that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you went off to school way up north,
yeah.
I would assume that you appeared a little different than the kids from those schools you were mentioning,
yeah.
up north.
I mean, I didn't necessarily feel different in that respect. My cousins went to the same school, and they were darker complected than me. But no.
Your cousins were darker complected?
Yeah, because my mom, you know, my mom's sisters all had kids as well, so, yeah.
But did your mom's sisters marry?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, yeah, my oldest aunt was married to a black gentleman, so, yeah,
okay.
My cousins were.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, no, I didn't experience anything outside of any normal, you know, kids would pick on you to pick on you, and so then they would use the words that were that would match whoever you are, right? If they're picking on somebody who was this way, they would use this term, and they're picking on me, and I was a short guy as well, so they would pick on my height a lot. I mean, but yeah, no, I don't remember anything specifically being because I looked different.
I think anybody that lives will tell you that the regretted the bullying they may have gotten in school, even if they were the people that did the bullying, they're regretful.
Sure.
And I got bullied all the time. I have a skin condition.
Oh.
And they called me alligator, and they called me fish.
Sure.
And, you know, at the time, you just have to learn to ignore it and say, so what? I can't control that.
Mm-hmm.
So good for you. Mm-hmm. Good for you. Yeah. That's got to be fun. That's a great roadway to a deep conversation.
Yeah, you know, it's great. I'm really thankful for, I wouldn't change my upbringing for anything in the world. I think it's defined me in some cases. It's challenged me in other cases. And I think I'm unique because of it.
Did you have a snowmobile all the time at the...
Yeah, I did. No, we did not. I don't remember a snowmobile or a four-wheeler. My cousins had some, but I don't know. That's not really my deal. My dad enjoys snowmobiling now. They have a cabin up in Ely, and so he enjoys snowmobiling now. But I never really got into the motorsports.
Okay, I just was wondering if it was an absolute necessity for Minnesota winters.
Yeah.
That you had one.
My dad had a good sturdy car at all times. He either had a truck or one of those long, wide cars you could land a helicopter on.
And I was thinking it must have been a lot of fun going through school with Aaron and Rachel. And, you know, one you can kind of look up to and sets the pace, and then one you can protect. I'm sure that you and Aaron watched over Rachel.
I think we did. I think now it's probably the other way around. My sister is heavily into jiu-jitsu and mixed martial arts. So that may have turned. She might have to be our bodyguard now.
Yeah, I think she has a new name.
Yes, Rachel Tusshaus is what she's married.
I'm thinking of ma'am.
Oh, yeah.
With those abilities, yes, ma'am.
Yeah,
no, ma'am. Yep. Okay, ma'am.
I haven't tried that yet.
Okay. Why don't you set yourself up for the next selection that you want to play, and we'll get back in just a moment to our guest here this morning, and his name is Alan
Nevelainen.
And he's a guitarist and a singer, and we'll take this brief break and be back and hear some more.
Do you have an old junker car in the garage or on the farm? Call Huber's Auto Parts in Faribault, 507-332-2300. Get the most cash for your old junker vehicle and have it taken away for free. Huber's Auto Parts in Faribault, 507-332-2300.
Are you tired of that icky old shower, crumbling old tile, or outdated bathtub? Rebath can help in as little as one day. Rebath is locally owned and would be glad to meet with you for a free estimate. Call us today at 1-800-BATH-TUB to turn that old bathroom into new.
We're back live and in color right here from Northfield, Minnesota. The snow keeps falling, and in just an hour and a half or less, it's going to be spring in Minnesota. And I don't mind the last snowfall just so it doesn't collect to the point where you have to plow it. But then again, I have good friends that are in the business of snow removal, and they don't mind that extra snow coming in late March. Because, of course, it helps their bottom line. You know the old saying, in like a lion, out like a lamb. Well, we have a gentleman in studio by the name of Alan
Nevelainen.
And Alan is going to play the banjo. He has on two occasions this morning. And this time he also is going to sing. So the banjo and Alan singing here on the Wayne Eddy Affair live and in color from our studios in downtown Northfield, Minnesota.
So this next song is called Almost Home. The first few months away from home were lonely. Classes would be better if I made some friends. Just two more shirts till I go home with laundry. And I think to myself, man, I'm getting there. So I'm getting my stuff together and I'm ready to take off. It's a long 5-hour drive to get back home. mapped out, my folks might know I'm coming. With a full tank of gas, I'm getting there. The weight of the school year is lifting. With the joy of getting to the roads I know, I can feel my family and friends there waiting. And I thank God I'm almost home. Well, I'm all grown up and I got my family started. Finally got that job I've been waiting for. Thinking of all the big plans I haven't charted. And I ask myself, am I really getting there? So I'm working my way home through silly traffic. It's a long 1 hour commute to get back home. Now my phone's mapped out and my family knows I'm coming. With a long work day behind me, I'm getting there. The weight of the work day is lifting. With the joy of getting to the roads I know. I can feel my family and they are waiting. And I thank God I'm almost home. I imagine playing with my grandkids, still picking on this old banjo, sitting with Jamie the Great watching sunsets as my body begins to slow. Well, it looks like my road trip is ending. Guess I better wrap this story up. Holding hands with my wife and Jesus. Oh Lord, I think it's time I'm getting there. The weight of this world is lifting. With the joy of getting to the roads I know. I can feel my family and they are waiting. And I thank God I'm almost home. And I thank God I'm almost home.
Good timing. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. God I'm almost home. Yeah. Who wrote that?
I did.
Ah!
Yeah.
Really?
Yep. So I wrote this song when I was, you know, when you're on a commute or a road trip, you can always just kind of sense when you almost are almost there,
yes.
Right? And you can kind of see the landmarks and just you feel that weight of the, you know, world lifting. So, yeah, I wrote that song.
I'm one of those guys that in my mind as I'm going, I know that I'm, like you say, almost there.
Mm-hmm.
I know if it's 40 miles, I know I got another 30 and 25, and you know,
yeah.
I just think it in my head.
Sure.
So you're reading my mind with that song.
Well, good. I'm glad it resonated.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Have you had an opportunity to publish that?
No. I'm pretty much fairly new to the music world myself. So, like I said, I've only been playing 5 years. Our band is not even a year old yet, so... but yeah, you can certainly come in and hear us. We do that song when we play. So,
what is the name of the band again?
Yep, it's the Back Porch String Band.
Now, Back Porch, I've heard of an organization or musical group called Back Porch.
Yeah, there's
the Back Porch Singers.
Yeah, there's a couple of there's a couple of bands out there that have a similar name. So,
the Back Porch.
Yeah. String band, excuse me.
Six string band?
No, Back Porch String Band.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. How many are in there?
Five of us. So we have myself on banjo and vocals. Joe Selness is a guitar player as well as vocals. John Hiscox on the mandolin. Eric Thurston is our fiddler. And Carolyn Axt is our stand-up bass player.
And what about lead singers?
I guess if there was a lead singer, it'd probably be myself, Joe, and John. We kind of all kind of share the vocals. Eric, our fiddler, also does one as well. So we kind of just share that duty.
Yeah.
I think for me personally, I'm a banjo player first, And okay. So, yeah, so we kind of just share that.
Well, Chance Meeting was in here last week.
Yeah.
And each one had a lead.
Yeah.
And I like that when they move it around. And, of course, you have six. So what other instruments do you have besides the banjo? Now, John Hiscox also plays a banjo. I think it's an electric banjo.
So I think John can play just about anything with strings. It's really remarkable. He's a talented musician. So I just play banjo. Carolyn and Eric are fiddler and bass player. They're both classically trained musicians, so they play violin and bass, and they can play all sorts of things. Yeah.
So you can get a fiddle and then the dum, dum, dum,
Yep, exactly.
On a big bass.
Yep,
okay.
Yep, she's got the large stand-up bass, yeah.
Yeah, and she's the one that has the worst traveling.
Yeah.
I mean.
And it's bigger than she is, so yeah. Having her haul it into the wherever we're playing is quite a treat.
And did we forget anybody? Okay.
No.
You got them all.
Yep.
All right. Well, maybe someday when – you know, it's possible.
Yeah.
All of you can come on in and work up a sweat in
this
booth.
we'd love to be here. Our next gig is actually this Friday at the Montgomery Brewery. We'll start playing at about 7. So, that'll be our next setup.
That's what is called the Montgomery Brewery?
Yeah.
And that's independently owned and operated brewery.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, just like we have several here.
Exactly right. They're a microbrew in Montgomery, Minnesota. Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Are you a beer guy?
I am. I'm taking a little bit of a break to help my belly out. But yeah, I am. I'm certainly a beer fan. Yeah.
So do you can really tell the good ones from the bad ones or mediocre ones?
Yes and no. I can tell the difference between, you know, your standard lagers, right? Your Coors or your Buds versus anything else. But no, I mean, I can tell the differences between the different beers, but I wouldn't call myself a connoisseur or anything.
The Minneapolis Tribune has a contest going right now where they're having the Sweet 16 and they're eliminating and there's going to be a number one. Brewery, and last year Shell's won it out of Montgomery.
Right.
Not Montgomery.
New Ulm.
New Ulm, thank you.
Yeah.
And I've told the story before, but we used to do golf tournaments with the Chamber of Commerce ambassadors, Rochester, Austin, Albert Lea, Northfield, Faribault, Red Wing, and we'd go to, each year we'd go to a different community and play a round of golf. And I ordered Pabst, let's say.
Sure.
And they said, we only serve one type of beer. I said, oh? And they said, yeah. And it was called...
Shells or...
Shells,
thank you. Yeah.
And I said, well, that's great. You're supporting the, you know, we're Chamber of Commerce guys and women, and you're supporting your local brewery by only selling Shells at the country club. I get it. I'll have a glass.
Yeah.
And I took a sip of it, and I put it down, and I said, I'll have a whiskey water. I couldn't stand it.
Sure.
It was just,
yeah.
I mean, to me.
Right.
I mean, just bitter. Yep. Well, it's already 10 o'clock. We have to take a break.
Sure.
And then we'll come back and do another song and chit-chat some more. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, live and in color from our studios, we have Alan
Nevelainen.
Nevelainen with us, and we'll be back with more after this time out, time for the news. This is KYMN, Northfield, Minnesota, AM and FM.
Shooting in Maryland, bombing in Texas. I'm John Trout. Police respond to gunfire at Great Mills High School, St. Mary's County, Maryland.
The sheriff's office is on the scene. Additional information to follow, and that is it at this point. They are telling parents, do not go to this school.
Gene Casara is following the story. There has been no official statement released in that reported school shooting. Federal investigators say a package that exploded at a FedEx facility near San Antonio is believed to be linked to the string of bombings that has terrified the Texas Capitol this month.
The package reportedly was marked with an Austin address and exploded as it was moving from one conveyor belt to another inside the facility. 75 people work inside the building. It's believed no one was seriously hurt.
And this just in, police have sent a hazardous materials team to an Austin FedEx facility, a separate location, after a report of a suspicious package. Officials in Britain are investigating the handling of data by Cambridge Analytica. The company allegedly used data mined from Facebook to help aid Donald Trump's presidential bid. Eyebrows are being raised on Capitol Hill, too, over the social media giant. California Democrat Congresswoman Jackie Speier.
I think Facebook has tried to create a message that now seems to be very flat. It is not just a platform. It is not just about ads. It does collect data. It shares that data. And frankly, it sells that data.
Weather woes across the nation in California due to heavy rain and the potential for mudslides. Some areas there are under mandatory evacuations. Widespread damage overnight in the southern U.S. tore through the area near Jacksonville State University, causing significant damage, that is. And there may be a run on milk and bread today in grocery stores in the Midwest, Northeast, and Mid-Atlantic. New York City on track to receive over a foot of snow. I'm John Trout.
When I get older, losing my hair, many years from now, will you still be sending me a Valentine? Birthday greetings, bottle of wine. If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Welcome back to the Wayne Eddy Affair on your radio station. This is the 195.1 FM and 1080 AM out of Northfield, Minnesota. I have a very interesting guest in studio this morning, and his name is Alan
Nevelainen.
And Alan Nevelainen. I got it.
Yeah, nice.
Is an author and a banjo player and a songwriter and a singer. And he has a band that performs almost weekly, and they're called the Back Porch String Band. And he's done a couple of songs for us so far. And let's open it up with another one. All
sure.
Right.
This next one's called Shenandoah. We're going to do it. That's a false start. We're going to start again.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, here's Alan. Thank you.
7 long years I courted Sally. Look away, you rolling river. 7 more years, oh how I long to have her. So look away, we're bound away across the wide Missouri. And it's fare thee well, I'm bound to leave you. Look away, rolling river. Oh, Shenandoah, I will not deceive you. So look away, we're bound away across the wide Missouri.
Shenandoah on KYMN Radio, as performed by Alan Nevelainen. Please forgive me.
No, it's not.
It's this whole thing up here that's right. Not working properly. Nevelainen. All right. Why did you choose Shenandoah?
I don't know. It's one of those songs that just kind of, as I was learning, when I first started playing banjo, I was picking up any older tune that I could find,
and okay,
just to kind of get my fundamentals going.
And Oh, Susanna?
Oh, Susanna was one of the first ones that I started playing. And so that one just kind of, you know, a lot of the banjo songs, a lot of the fiddle tunes are really peppy, a lot of, you know, upbeat, a lot of speed. And so this was kind of that first one that was more of a mellow, kind of slow. And so it just kind of drew to me that way.
So how did you end up picking up a banjo?
Yeah, I just like the sound. And I like its roots. I like its, you know, unique Americana sound that it has. There's a lot of rich history of the instrument itself. And I've just kind of, I mean, I guess initially I would say listening to Americana bands like Avett Brothers and, you know, even Mumford & Sons to an extent, but that have that banjo going in the background is just a really neat sound. And that was my first draw. And then as I looked more and more into it and started playing it, I really just fell in love with the instrument.
So do you ever buy the albums or go to any concerts with Steve Martin?
I do have some Steve Martin. He is a phenomenal banjo player. Yeah, my goodness. But yeah, they have beautiful music.
You know? How about Scruggs?
Scruggs is that style of play doesn't. I wouldn't say I don't like it, because there's a great deal of respect for it. They're really talented. It's just not my first style to play. So although I listen to it and I appreciate it and I like it, it's not my first choice. Yeah.
So when you went down to Rochester,
yeah,
totally different atmosphere. I mean, you're from a mobile home in the woods.
Yeah.
And now you're going down to Rochester, which can be a pretty sophisticated community.
Yeah.
Did you, what neighborhood did you get to buy a house or a mobile home?
We were renting in an apartment in the south side of town. The neat thing about Rochester, at least when I was there, it's been years since we've lived there now, but all the residents that would go to Mayo for their residency were from all over the world. So what I particularly enjoyed as a newcomer to Rochester was meeting all these people from all over the world, where up north, everybody was from up north, right? Whereas in Rochester, we had close friends across the hall in the apartment building from Israel. We had some friends from Bulgaria. We had friends from Malaysia, all over the world. And it was really a neat opportunity to experience different cultures, and funny enough, learned soccer from all different cultures. I played a lot of soccer, and one sport has multiple different tiny little differences in how each of these cultures and nations play, and it was really kind of fun to kind of learn all of those.
Now, one of the things, do you know that yesterday I had the conductor of the Rochester Symphony Orchestra on my show?
Oh, is that right? No, I didn't know.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that is really neat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then today we follow with you?
Yeah, sure.
When you were an older fella when you picked up the banjo, mm-hmm. comparatively speaking. You mentioned the harmonica, mm-hmm. and that can be a beautiful instrument. It can be a funny instrument, and it's easy for a while, but then when you really get into doing it, it's a lot of work with the lips and tongue, mm-hmm. breathing, etc.
Right.
So how old were you when you decided, I think I want to use an instrument I can hold against my chest?
Yeah. It was probably only about a year that I was doing harmonica before I wanted to kind of take that.
And how old were you?
Well, let's see, 35 maybe.
So late in life.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that you wished you would have listened to maybe your mom and got more involved in music and reading and writing.
Exactly right. My dad grew up playing piano, and so he played a lot of piano, and my dad really, really loved music. And so I guess maybe if there was a regret that I didn't get engaged into music earlier in life, yeah.
Well, how about Aaron and Rachel, your older brother and younger sister?
Yeah. My sister sings in, I'm not prepared, I don't know the name of it. She was in the Burnsville choir, the part of their symphony in Burnsville. So she sings in a choir.
Okay.
My brother doesn't do much for music. He's more of a tactile, hands-on guy. He's woodworker, farmer, roofing, that kind of thing.
Well, then this next question is not going to get the answer I may have anticipated. I like to ask brothers when they're close, like 2 years apart, and your brother Aaron being older, how old were you when you realized you could take Aaron?
Oh, my goodness. I don't think I could right now. I mean, I think an older brother is going to always be an older brother. So, yeah, I don't think I'll ever.
Well, I'm sure you had a few matches.
Yeah. Oh, we had more than enough. My brother, you know, being the blue-collar farmer, roofer, is his back's getting sore, his knees are getting sore, but I think he could still take me.
All right. And, of course, you know, we're recording this, and you can download it and send a copy
yes.
to him. And he'll enjoy it. He really will.
He will record this segment and probably play it back to me over and over again.
Yeah. Okay. So he has admitted that he still can't take his older brother, Aaron.
Yeah.
It's 10:15 on Kim Radio, 1 hour from spring here in Northfield, Minnesota. My guest this morning is Ellen
Nevelainen.
And he is a very interesting person. Now, I'm still fascinated with the fact that you're multicultural.
Uh-huh.
Is that a nice way of saying things?
Sure. Yeah.
And you did say that you were called names, etc.
Sure.
And now, did that happen also in Rochester, the more sophisticated community?
No. I mean, I can only think of a couple of times when I've been called any name that had to do with my skin color. I think most of the names were making fun of, you know, me being a small guy. But I wasn't picked on a whole lot in Rochester. I was little, so as a result, then people that wanted to feel big would maybe pick on me, but it wouldn't be enough where I don't have any particular memories about it. Also had he's a lifelong friend of mine. The first day that I went to school in Rochester, the guy who showed me around school, Patrick, has been friends with me ever since, and he was much taller than me, was a big guy, played catcher on baseball. So he's just this sturdy dude. So
what's his last name?
Patrick Jack.
Oh, Patrick Jack.
Yeah.
The good baseball player.
I don't know. He is a good baseball player, but I don't know if we're thinking of the same person.
I'm just giving Patrick Jack a
oh yes,
you know,
yeah,
jack
right
there.
Nice.
So you mentioned soccer. Evidently, you did play soccer.
I did play soccer a lot. It was more, you know, backyard. You know, pick
did
up games,
ever on
things
a team?
Like that. Never until college. I was doing intramurals, but no, I never played in an organized team.
Well, I have a question. It's a standard question.
Sure.
I ask everybody,
mm-hmm.
and I've had the same experience, and that is if you participated in any sport, there's one game, one play that you'll never forget.
Sure.
What's yours?
Oh, wow. I would say, going back to our earlier conversation, would probably be the time when I actually scored a goal against my brother.
Okay. Obviously, that would, you remember that.
Yes. Yeah. That would be a victory for me on so many levels.
You being a soccer fan, I assume, what is your take about the new MLB Major League MLS, Major League Soccer, in St. Paul, on Lexington University? What's the name? The Loons, or I don't know.
I don't follow it a whole lot. I appreciate sports. I don't do a lot. I wouldn't say I'm a sports fan. I don't follow any particular team or any sport for that matter from a TV or follow your team kind of perspective. But I think the more that you expand a sport like soccer, I think there's not really any bad to come of it. I mean.
Well, they play outside.
Yeah.
And they have huge crowds at TCF Stadium, and they're building their own stadium now. And I remember when soccer was, soccer? And then it got to be, you're playing soccer?
Right.
And then it got to be, they got a soccer team. And then it got to be, I wish that guy was on the football team so he could kick some field goals.
Sure.
And soccer has become really popular.
Yeah. I like the purity of it. It's just a straightforward game. I mean, the rules are not all that complicated. I think I can appreciate that. Not to offend any basketball fans, but when you tune into a basketball game, there's a pause almost every 20 seconds with some kind of foul or infraction or whatever. Where soccer, they'll just play, and I can appreciate that. Rochester's a big soccer town, so and then mix that with the residents and playing with soccer players all over the world. I didn't really necessarily know any different, that it was growing until kind of stepped out of that Rochester sphere and realized it. Yeah.
I have actually watched soccer, and before I go right by it.
Sure.
And it's because of the younger generation that their parents didn't want them, for example, to play football, and so they took up soccer, and they loved it, mm-hmm. and they were really into it. And so I think it's going to be a big success, and I hope so for St. Paul's sake. At 20 minutes after 10 o'clock, once again here on the Wayne Eddy Affair, we have Alan
Nevelainen.
And, you just pulled out a CD?
Nope, this is a dummy copy of the book that I'm...
Want to talk about that?
Yeah, I'd love to talk about it at some point. No hurry.
How many selections do you have to go that you on your playlist for today?
I have just a couple more, and they're instrumental. A couple more instrumentals than that. That's pretty much what I had prepared.
Yeah. And folks, is that a Kindle?
This is an iPad, yeah.
An iPad, yep. Okay. And... he's got some little square box with two different white arrows on it, and I'm thinking he's keeping beat to his music on the banjo.
Yep.
And what he's doing is he's flipping the pages on his iPad.
Yeah.
So he can remember the...
The lyrics. Really, really bad at remembering lyrics, but the chord progressions are pretty
good. Well, you've heard of Barbara Streisand.
Uh-huh.
Well, she had a concert here... maybe 5 years ago. And my wife has every album, I think.
Sure.
So as a gesture, I bought tickets, first class tickets for this.
Yeah.
And we got all dressed up, and we went to her. But I looked behind me and up in the air, and there's this huge screen. And everything she said, everything.
Oh, was out on the teleprompter.
Was on the teleprompter.
Sure. Yeah.
And I'm going... People, which is my favorite song. I used to listen to that and even ask the people that I hitchhiked to Brown, and I'd even ask if they would turn into WLOL because they play People by Barbara Streisand about this time every morning when it was popular.
Yep.
And then when I see her reading it, singing it, she did a wonderful job.
Right.
I'm thinking, she's about my age, and you can forget songs he sang 10,000 times.
Well, that actually makes me feel a little better because, I really struggle with memorizing lyrics, yeah.
So you want to do one now? I got an idea. Just for a brief second, let's tease the audience with what you do know about Deliverance.
Oh, goodness.
And just for a couple,
Yeah.
Whatever. Put the thing down there.
Yeah.
because people recognize it. You know, it's entertaining.
Yeah.
And he's already told me that he can't go through the whole tune, but he can do a couple of licks that you'll definitely say, ah.
And that's probably where I usually fall out.
Well, I recognized it.
Yeah.
Has that been a song that or a number that people ask you to play?
Yeah, and it's kind of a running joke as well with my band and the folks that come to the jam. That's probably the one song that I usually don't play. Maybe I'm being more of a traditionalist, but there's such a rich history with banjo. Banjo music can be such a pure form of music that that song feels, no disrespect to the song because it's a neat song, but there's other songs that I'd love to put the spotlight on as opposed to that one.
Okay, now I'm gonna tell you what I think.
Sure.
Okay. Particularly if I'm a paying customer.
Yeah.
Musicians have a struggle in that they want to. I talked about this with Ricky Nelson back in the 80s, I think. Musicians want to play their own stuff because it's good stuff to them and it's their sweetheart. They wrote that song, they remember where they were when they wrote it and the struggles to get it all arranged. And they want to be purists. But your audience
pays to hear the Deliverance song.
The audience wants to recognize your talent and ability.
Mm-hmm.
And to do 2 minutes of that.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone in there is going to like it.
Yeah.
Now, you might find one person say, oh, you're going back to a, you know. But for the most part, people are going to love it.
You know, the song for us on that is every set we do the song Wagon Wheel, which is, you know, if you go to a jam session, if you go to the bluegrass festivals, that's kind of the song where we all jokingly kind of will roll our eyes at. But that is a fun song to play, and it gets the crowd going. And that's kind of our song. Is it our favorite song? Well, maybe not, but it's a song that everybody recognizes. Everybody will sing that chorus, and that's the song for our band that we usually will definitely play toward the end.
How does it go?
It doesn't sound very good as a solo song, but it's... the chorus... southbound train, hey mama, rock me.
Okay, so is that the refrain that
you're just singing? Yep, exactly.
Okay, so there, that's people are saying, oh, I know that song,
right?
I love to sing along with that, and you made them very happy,
right?
1027 on 1080 Radio, KYMN out of Northfield, Minnesota, and I have a very interesting guest. And I don't know about you, but we're moving along slow, which I like to do because there's stories in every nook and cranny, and that's the fun part of doing an interview. So if we don't get up to your performances for we'll talk about them. But I'm lingering around here. You're in high school. You're not the big guy in high school.
Right.
And you weren't into music. And Aaron lead the way when he got out of high school? Did he kind of say, here's where I'm going with my life, I know? Or was he like me?
Yeah.
Like, now what do I do?
You know, my brother and I have an interesting relationship. You know, growing up, the big brother, there was, I wanted to do everything he did. I wanted to like everything he liked, or, you know, that kind of stuff. We wanted the same toys and, you know. And I think at some point we started diverging, and I don't know when exactly that was. My brother went into the Air Force. That was, if you had to look at a pivotal milestone, that would obviously be it, because I went the college route, he went the military route. So we started leading different lives after high school. Sure. When my brother left high school.
When he went off into the Air Force, was it the for a career?
He just did a 4-year stint there, or maybe ended up closer to being a 6, but yeah, he didn't do a full career there.
But yep. If he would have, he would be on an Air Force pension.
Yeah.
And living happily ever after.
Yeah, I don't know, but yeah, I'm sure that would be. I have one other friend of mine that left for Marine Corps boot camp right after we graduated high school, and he did a full 20 years, and he has a...
Time flies.
Yeah, and he has a great... What he would describe a great desk job underwriting life insurance, and says, you know, he's did his camping, he's did his traveling, he's ready to just sit at a desk now.
And he gets his check
and then
every
he gets
month.
His pension,
I mentioned before on the air that I had a cousin that was 17, went in the Navy at 37. Well, most of us were just, in my case, turning the corner as a businessman. He was collecting that naval pension. And could do anything you want. I had another one that did 20 in the Air Force and ended up being the secretary to an archbishop in the St. Paul, Minneapolis Archdiocese. Yeah. And he had been an assistant chaplain in the Air Force. Nice checks come out of there.
Mm-hmm.
So you get out and you say, I'm going to go to college. Now you got your, in Rochester, you have that beautiful community college out there. As a matter of fact, that's where we started the Ronald McDonald Motorcycle Rally.
Oh, okay.
And rode around and then ended up at the house.
Yeah, it's a great campus down there.
Yeah. So is that where you went?
Yeah. So I went there I got my associate's degree there. It was a great way to...
What is an associate's degree?
Two-year college degree.
What does that do? I mean, where do you go from there?
Yeah, for me what it did was I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. And so it was a way for me to kind of... knock out the general ed requirements and then go to a 4-year school with that degree as opposed to having to transfer credits.
Would you start as a freshman at a 4-year school?
No, I was considered a junior.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you did well in the community college, except for?
I finished. Yeah. You know, I guess if you're not sure what you want to do, you kind of probably don't apply yourself the way that you should. So yeah, my first year was a bit of a wash, but once I applied myself, then I finished and ended up focusing on computer graphics, and then finished school Bemidji State with an illustration degree or a visual arts degree with an emphasis on illustration. Yeah.
When I was the age you're talking about, they had general college at the University of Minnesota, and they stopped that program a few years back. But when I applied to get in, because my father's side of the was in the education industry, teachers, psychologists, and et cetera, and went to Eddie Hall, EDDY, and took the entrance exams, and I was a kid that, you know, didn't study a lot in high school, but could pass and sometimes fail, like Latin.
Sure.
But anyhow, went back for the results, and they said, well, Mr. Eddie, here's what we're going to do. You can go to General College and take these courses this year, and you have to maintain a C-plus average or whatever. Sure. And then next year you can go to... General College 2 and maintain good grades, and completing that you can enter the University of Minnesota as a freshman.
Yeah.
Well, they all do it nowadays. Not all, obviously, but many take 6 years to get out of school.
Right.
So, anyhow, you did buckle down.
I did eventually buckle down and finished in 5 years.
Yeah. Where did you decide to go after you had your associate's degree?
Bemidji State University, which is, northwest part of the state there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And Bemidji, of course, we being the Minnesota JCs organization. Have you ever heard of them?
Yes, I have. GAYs. Yeah.
JAYCES, JCs.
Yes.
Anyhow, we had a convention in Bemidji at the campus.
Okay, yeah.
And the food was delicious.
Oh, it's a great, great facility there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you eat pretty well there.
Now, you were going there in probably the early 2000s, late 1990s.
99, I
okay.
think. Yep.
That's right about the time when some of the junior, well, they call them junior colleges or whatever, were bringing in outstanding, but not that outstanding because they didn't go to a larger school, football players. And the football players were from a different culture.
Yeah.
And they did not feel good trying to fit into the white culture in Bemidji.
Oh, sure.
But their team did well.
Yep.
Because they were committed, drafted, sure. if you will, however they legally do it or illegally.
Yep.
So when you were going to Bemidji, was that the time that was going on where the football team was bringing in East Coast kids, Texas kids to play up north?
I was an art student. I didn't know a lot of football players. But the
yeah, program.
Yeah, the program itself, I guess I didn't notice there being – they were all very large people. That's all I remember. Football players are really,
but, I mean, people of color,
yeah.
comparatively speaking, you could say, oh, he must play football. Oh, he must play basketball.
You could definitely tell the basketball players.
Yeah.
I remember that specifically. We would signed up for an intramural basketball, which was off-season from the regular basketball season. So all these really good basketball players signed up, and it was embarrassing for, you know, obviously you saw how tall I'm at, you know, 5'10", 5'11", and you look up at all these guys.
Yeah.
And the football players were not much different. There was, I would probably say, I remember maybe a quarter of the team being black.
Okay, so and you tell me if I'm going too far.
Yeah.
Okay, so the black population on the campus there at Bemidji generally could be associated with the sports programs because the area is culturally Caucasian.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, yeah, I would say that, you know, there wasn't a lot of. I don't remember a lot of black students at Bemidji State. There were a lot of Native American students because of the being so close to the Indian reservation there. So I wouldn't say that it was all white students either.
Okay.
I just don't remember.
Well, here's what I was getting to.
Yeah.
So you, having told me that you're half black, half Caucasian, did you find it a struggle to find out what culture you wanted to accept, or did you say, wow, I got a chance to learn and be in both cultures? And, you know.
I think you're hitting the nail right on the head. I've always grown up to kind of be my own, you know, and I'm, I have a friend at church who's from Phoenix, and he's a black gentleman, and he jokingly said, Alan, you're the only black lumberjack I know. And, you know, you look at how I look, I'm wearing plaid, I got a beard on, and so I'm kind of my own flavor, I guess. So I didn't really draw to either side of the culture, bits of both of it, really.
And when you told me about your mom and dad, I was taken aback.
Yeah.
When I walked in and met you and all that, I never even thought of that.
Sure.
And then when you said that, then I start looking, and then you say, oh, yeah, I get it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So do you want to do another song, or should we talk about life at Bemidji and after?
Yeah, I could do another song. It's another instrumental song. This is a kind of a peppier song called The Hangman's Reel.
The Hangman's Reel.
Yeah. A neat story behind this song is that the story goes, and you know, these are all just folk tales, but the story goes is this gentleman was in jail and was going to be hanged the next day, and he was trying to figure out a way to negotiate himself out of jail. So he offered the sheriff was playing fiddle on the other side of the cell, and he said, if I teach myself to play fiddle before tomorrow, will you spare my life? And the sheriff accepted the challenge, and so all night this gentleman taught himself how to play fiddle, and while he had the hangman's noose around his neck, he played this song.
And this is a song you're going to sing?
No, just play.
But does it have words?
I don't know.
The story, you'd think that there would be a worded song.
I don't think the story went that he sang anything. So
okay.
I think it's just a fiddle tune.
Okay,
we'll just
so
play it without
we'll
the fiddle.
Just shut up and listen.
Yeah, sure. All right.
It's Alan Neville-Iden.
Yeah, closest. Neville-Iden. Okay.
On the banjo here on KYMN Radio, and that is a four-string banjo?
It's a five-string banjo.
Five-string banjo.
Yep, there's a fifth string here up at the top, kind of hiding.
Yeah. Oh, there I see it. Okay. Yeah. Is that unusual? Five?
Five is probably the most common. They do have four-string banjos, and they have six-string banjos. The five is probably most common. You notice here that the fifth string is strung halfway up the neck. It's the same note as the middle string, but it's just an octave higher.
Okay. Yeah. And, well, when I look at guitars, it's usually a four-string or a six-string.
Yes, you know. Yep.
I've even seen a 12-string.
Yeah, 12-string guitars that's quite a monster.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So now you're in school and you're taking up marketing
art illustration. Art.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What is art illustration?
Well, illustrating, you know, things like basically what you end up doing for a job is you either freelance for what I wanted to do was I wanted to work for an animation studio or a movie studio and do character sketches and do that kind of thing. When you find out they're not giving away art jobs at the graduation table, you got to figure out how you can make your money. But that's what I was hoping to do, was to do some illustrations for the movie industry or cartoons. Ended up obviously illustrating my book here and kind of illustrate for fun, which in hindsight I enjoy. I would rather do illustration as a passion and a hobby as opposed to a job. Eventually, even if you're doing a job that, at least the way I am, is if I'm doing a job that I love, eventually it still feels like work.
And that's an absolute truth. There was a lecture on that recently about, if you like your job, it's not work. You know, I mean, you may sweat,
right,
but, you know, you like it. And I have to say, when I went off to Brown Institute to learn broadcasting, I was really good.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it, and I loved it. And so I did my thing and ended up in Northfield happily. And if you like what you're doing, it's life can be fun,
mm-hmm,
or more interesting. I know people that hate their jobs.
Right.
And there's another guy in town named Billy Stanton, and he works for Post, but Multimeal. Been there probably 47 years. Number one on the list.
Oh, wow.
And he loves his job. He just loves it. And, you know, you go, wow, that's really cool. Find someone that really likes their job.
Yeah.
So are you working today in that industry?
No, not at all. I'm in the e-commerce space. Is probably the company that I work for is in e-commerce, and I am working on the business analysis side. So we look at product requirements and, you know, blah, 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 IT.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Okay, let's jump to where did you go to your four-year school to get your BA?
Yep, that was Bemidji State. And so I finished, I finished 2000. I had after school, I had an internship back down in Rochester. I finished school in Bemidji.
Okay, so who lined up the Rochester job?
The internship was just me kind of carpet bombing my resume and just kind of seeing who bit. And, so I worked for the Rochester Arts Center for about 6 months as I finished up school.
Mm-hmm. Carpet bombing.
Yeah, just laying
that
just
comes
laying
out of Vietnam.
Yeah.
Wow. I've never heard anybody use that expression before. It's 18 minutes before 11 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio. And I have a very interesting guest in studio. And I want to thank John
Hiscox.
Hiscox. I have trouble with that, too. Hiscox. I always want to say Hitchcock.
Right.
Hiscox. Okay, and I'm going to take a brief break, and when we come back, you have more music?
Yeah, I got probably got one more left in me, yeah.
Okay, well, we'll take this brief break, and we'll be back on the Wayne Eddy Affair on your radio station, KYMN.
You buy something because you got it for a low price, and soon you realize it's no bargain because you really needed something better. It happens all the time, especially with car insurance. But the good news is you can get the right coverage at the right price. Just talk to me, State Farm agent Mark Quinnell. I'll help you get the right coverage at a price that's right for you. Call me at 645-4545 today.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is.
Providing insurance and financial services.
All right, America. H&R Block has some good news. For a limited time only, you could get a refund advance loan of up to $3,000 the same day you file at Block. That's right. You could get up to $3,000 today. No interest. Told you it was good news. To learn more or find participating locations near you, visit hrblock.com. Get your taxes won. Optional tax refund related loan from BofI Federal Bank. Not your tax refund. $500, $750, $1,250, or $3,000 loans offered. Approval and loan amount based on expected refund and other conditions. Funds loaded on prepaid card. Tax returns may be e-filed without applying for this loan. Fees for other products or features may apply.
H&R Block, 1300 Bolenbacher Drive in Northfield. Open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Saturday, 9 to 5. Walk-ins are welcome or call 645-6281 for an appointment.
Music from 1995. Wow. Name that tune.
I know the tune. What's it called?
I like it.
Blast from the past.
Another night, another dream, but
that's the title, Another Night. And I picked this one because it has the performers have a banjo background.
Do they?
By name.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's called Another Night by Real McCoy.
Oh, got it.
You know, McCoy.
Yep.
I like this.
Yeah.
I can just see everybody just jumping up and having a good time. Do you have a mosh pit when you make your performances?
Oh, no. No, definitely don't.
What would the age be in regards to the people that will come out to your performances?
You know, I think they probably come for the beer and then enjoy the music, I hope.
Okay.
And so it ranges quite a bit. I would say from, you know, 35 to 65, I would say it runs the gamut.
All right.
Yeah.
Did you ever have anybody pop up, raise their hand, and say, hey, can I give that banjo a try? Or, hey, can I play the piano? Or, hey, can I give the fiddle a try? Or, hey, can I sing the song?
Well, at the jam session, that's actually encouraged. The idea behind a jam session is anyone's welcome, even if that instrument's just your vocals. In the past, I've seen jam sessions with folks just show up with spoons, and that's a lot of fun. That's kind of encouraged at a jam. At the set, no, I can't say that that's happened, but at jam sessions, there will be times where folks will come up and sing a song.
You ever play the washboard?
I do play the washboard.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I play the washboard if the song fits, right?
What's a washboard song?
Oh, goodness. John Hiscox will do a Wreck of the Old 97, and that's a train song, so that's got that kind of sound, so that works really well with a washboard.
Have you ever heard of a band called 6 Mile Grove out of Rochester?
It sounds very familiar, but I'm trying to picture any other music. But yes, I've heard of them.
Brandon Sampson.
No, it doesn't ring a bell.
Well, that's going. Yeah. I'm going down there right after we get done. And
okay.
He's a prostatist.
Okay.
Can't get that right.
Yep.
And anyhow, he really a good guy, good friend. Had him on the show here many times, mm-hmm. and he's a musician. So,
right.
Speaking about music, ladies and gentlemen, let's do it. And I'm going to try. Don't get mad at me. We are now going to hear. Are you going to sing?
This one's another instrumental.
Okay, that's fine.
Yep.
Let's see. We're going to go with Alan Navalainen.
Nevelinin.
Nevelinin to you. One, two, one, two, three. Boy, did that sound familiar.
Yeah, that's Jesse James.
That is in the play Jesse.
Okay. Oh, sure.
And yeah. It's an original play.
Okay.
It started in 1976.
All right.
And in 1986, I was in that play, and I was that song there was That Dirty Little Coward called Mr. Howard.
Yep.
And I was in the play, and I'd hear that every performance.
Yeah, obviously.
So I'm sitting there going, then I start singing the words. So that's cool.
Yeah, in Northfield, you can't get by without doing some Jesse James just due to the local history. But, yeah, we start every set with that song just as kind of a tipping our hat to the local community. Yeah.
Boy, that John is busy if he's playing with you and with Chance Meeting.
And then he's involved with a great nonprofit driving folks around all day. I mean, he's a busy dude.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, he is a good guy.
A good guy.
Yeah.
11 minutes before it is 11 o'clock, and are you? I see you have a ring on your finger.
Yes.
So evidently, I assume you're married.
I am.
And what's your wife's name?
My wife's name is Jamie.
Jamie?
Mm-hmm.
What you gonna do? No, that's Amy.
Yeah.
Okay. Where did you meet Jamie?
I met her when I was up at school in Bemidji.
Okay.
Yep. And then we got married up there. We've been married 18 years.
Wow. So, yeah. Holy cow.
Yeah.
You have children?
Yep. Three children.
One of each?
My oldest is Tavo.
T-A-V-O?
T-A-H-V-O. But yeah, that's another Finnish name.
Tavo,
yep.
Okay. And I like that.
He's 13.
Does he have a nickname? Tav?
No, I call him Vovo, but yeah, he doesn't really have a nickname.
Okay.
Sometimes friends will call him Taco,
He's
I suppose.
13, did you say?
He's 13. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then after Tavo?
Elias.
Elias.
Yeah.
Right out of the Bible.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's 12.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And then Amarette is my daughter.
Amarette.
Yep. A-M-E-R-E-T-T-E.
You know what? I could have spelled that for some reason.
Yeah.
But does she have a nickname?
Well, I call her Ready Ready, probably.
Ready Ready?
Yeah.
What's...
Just, I don't know. Who knows what...
Well, you know how we men have to say, are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
Are you ready? No, I can't say that because it's politically incorrect. And in my case, I don't have to wait for my wife. She's waits on me.
Sure.
Not waits on me like serves, but, you know, come on, let's go. You're the one that wanted to leave at, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I forget something, go back in the house. So you're busy with, by the way, Amarette is how old?
She's 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. And where do you live?
We live halfway between New Prague and Montgomery. We live out in the country a little bit.
So if I'm taking, County Road 1, and I get to a T in the road, and I take a right, and then I go up about a half a mile, and I take a left, and then I go into Montgomery?
Yep.
Okay, and where are you in that?
You would just probably keep heading north about 3 miles.
Oh, and then, keep heading north.
Yep, so we're Heidelberg. We're just east of Heidelberg.
You know what I know about Heidelberg?
What's that?
They have a baseball team.
They do?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I think.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay.
That's a cute little town. Yeah.
I think they do.
Yeah.
Okay. And so where do the kids go to school?
We homeschool. So they go to public school for a band, and then they're called co-ops. Other homeschool families don't know that term, but they go to classroom sessions for things like science and things that are more hands-on and, you know, that kind of thing. So. So mom's driving around quite a bit, but yeah.
And do you have a full-time day job yourself?
Yes.
And are you still an illustrator?
Yes, I do the illustration for fun. But yeah, I don't do that for job or anything.
What do you do for a living now?
I'm in IT. Yep. So, project You're management. It? Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that is it. Yeah.
What? So does that mean you're fancy dancy on the computer?
Oh, maybe. I'm probably, I don't know. I guess, yeah, I would say I'm tech savvy, but my job doesn't necessarily require that. My job pretty much requires good organization skills more than anything.
For a large company?
Yeah. Yeah.
And can you work out of home?
On occasion, yep. Yeah. In fact, after this, I'll be working from home this afternoon.
IT stands for Intelligent...
Information Technology.
Oh, Information Technology. Yep. And that's the big deal of the day.
Yeah.
Supposedly.
Yeah, computers are, that's it.
So is that a competitive job? Do you have to, what do you call that, bomb spray or?
Carpet bomb, my
carpet
resume.
Bomb. Yeah.
It's, I'd say it's competitive. You got to be good at what you do, but I wouldn't say it's any different than any other industry. Obviously, work hard and be good at what you do, and I haven't found it too competitive.
So do you have to drive to your place of work?
Yeah, so I work up in the Minnetonka area, so it's about 40, 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Not too awful bad. When you live out in New Prague, everything's a half hour, so yeah. Then you kind of just, it really feels like 15 minutes, I guess.
Well, I moved south of town, and now it takes me about 12 minutes to get here,
yeah.
And it takes about 16 steps from the curb to sit in this chair.
Yeah.
And I have fellow broadcasters from major markets, and they'll say, boy, you don't know how lucky you are. Fight the traffic in the freeways. Fight the traffic downtown. Fight the traffic in the underground garage. Fight the traffic for the elevator.
Yeah, it's stressful.
We're going to take one last break and one last song for sure.
I could probably, yeah.
You can do with the one you started with if you want to.
Yeah, I could do one more song.
You know, whatever you want.
Okay.
You're the man. You can sing it, play it.
Sure.
Whatever you want. And if you sing it, let me know and I'll harmonize with you.
Okay.
Your vehicle's engine warning light could mean something as simple as a loose gas cap or something serious and potentially expensive if you don't address it right away. Have our professional technicians at Witt Brothers Service diagnose and fix the problem as part of your overall preventative maintenance program. It could save you from costly problems down the road. Stop by Witt Brothers Service at 701 Division Street in downtown Northfield for all of your automotive maintenance and repair needs.
Let us help you maximize your earnings with a certificate of deposit from Community Resource Bank. Invest in a 60-month CD at 2% or a 48-month at 1.75 annual percentage yield, or choose a 54-month bump option at 1.70% APY. Get the best deposit rates around with Community Resource Bank in Northfield, Cannon Falls, and Roseville. Good bankers, good friends. $25,000 minimum deposit required. Penalty for early withdrawal may reduce earnings. Other rates and terms are available. Member FDIC.
Name this tune. It's very appropriate for this time of our interview.
I know the tune.
Do you know the singer?
Once he or she starts, I think it's a she, right?
Yep. A long intro.
Take a Madonna?
Yes.
Night is over, this masquerade.
Well, after you performed here on the Wayne Eddy Affair, of course I would like you to take
a bow.
Amen.
There you go.
4 minutes before 11 o'clock on KYMN Radio, I am talking to a gentleman that does it all. And, Alan, I requested that you play or sing another tune before we go. And if you will be kind enough to do that, I would appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. This last song, let's do Wildwood Flower. That one. Thank you.
Wildflower.
Wildwood flower.
Yep. Wildwood flower. You know, I was watching you strumming that banjo, and I'm going, well, you're doing a melody. Dun, 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 yeah. dun, 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 and I'm watching your left hand.
Yeah.
And when I'm thinking you're making the melodic difference with that, but you're doing that for the strumming part of it.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, how can you play a melody and strum at the same time?
I think that's what I like about the style of play that I'm doing here. Whether you know, climb or frailing, a little bit of both is kind of what I do. But it's, you're doing both. I mean, the melody, you're doing some pull-offs and hammer-ons, but you're striking with the top of your nail. That's how you get your, you know, your melody notes. So, yeah, but then at the same time, that strumming pattern kind of keeps the rhythm going, so yeah. You can do it by yourself.
Well, to me, it'd be multitasking, and I'm not good at multitasking.
Sure.
Did you have any frustrations when you picked up that banjo?
No more than any other frustration when you're trying to learn something new. There is some muscle memorization involved where you have to kind of just get habit. You gotta be able to strum that pattern without thinking about it. So that takes some practice, but I don't know. I tell everybody 10 or 15 minutes a day is all you need.
Well, you know, there's an old saying, boy, I'd do anything to be able to play like that. Well, obviously I wouldn't, or I would.
Yeah,
right?
Sure.
And my wife one time when she was, I rely on her for computer stuff, telephone stuff. And she said, you can do it. And I said, no. And she said, you ride a motorcycle. You know, you got to do, I don't know how to do what you're doing, but I know you have to use both hands and your feet.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about that, you know. Well, all of us that ride a motorcycle don't think it's very hard.
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, all you got to do is this, this, and that to get to there.
Yeah.
But if you don't know it yep. but I wouldn't have the patience. I would not.
Sure.
Will you come back on a Friday? We can do an in-depth interview about your career and your family. And, you know, Friday show is from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m.
Okay.
I'm not talking about this Friday, I don't
sure.
think. But it'd be a yeah. just an hour show.
Yeah, I'd be happy to come back. We just scheduled it with John. And, yeah, I'd yeah. love to come back. It was a great time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would like to kind of, if I could, make a plug for my website, for my book.
Please.
NevIllustration.com, NevIllustration.com is where you can support my Kickstarter campaign for my children's book that I'm trying to get into hard copy.
What's the name of the book?
The book is called The Adventures of Super Al. It steps into the imagination of a kid, and he's just using things around the house to have an adventure.
Are those your... what do you call it?
Illustrations? Yeah.
Well,
absolutely.
You're good.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah.
You're really good.
Yeah.
That's good. I met a guy through Pete Meanley that was the illustrator for his comic books, but also did illustrations for things that you'd say, oh, wow. You
know? Yeah.
And I can't remember his name, but we sat down and we looked through the Minneapolis Tribune comic section.
Oh.
And he talked about each, he knew.
Right.
Each one. And and then I said, well, what's your favorite one? And he told me something about the pigs and the alligator. I can't remember the name of it.
Sure.
But I saw it, and the first time I ever saw it, they were talking in broken English and meat-like food or whatever.
Oh, sure.
And I said, well,
yeah, yeah.
Well, then, because of his recommendation,
yep.
I started reading it. And it's pretty darn funny.
Yeah.
Except I found out now that he's doing political.
Oh, okay.
He's dissing people
sure.
in the political world.
Yep, yep.
And we already have that other guy that does that.
Right, the political know. Cartoons
yeah,
are it, on its own bucket.
Yeah. And that's the second guy that has a cartoon strip in the Minneapolis Tribune. That Doonesbury's the other one.
Sure.
That should be on many occasions on the editorial page.
Right.
Oh, well. That's my Wayne editorial for today.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, hey, thanks, Alan, very much for coming in.
Yeah, thank
and
you.
And we'll arrange to have you come back, and you can download this off our website in probably today sometime.
Great. Thank
All
you
right.
for having me. I appreciate
You want to
it.
Play us out?
Sure. I'll play us out.
Well, Well, ladies and gentlemen, that concludes the Wayne Eddy Affair for this Tuesday morning. This is March 20th, 2018, and in just about 12 minutes, it will be spring 2018. Thanks for listening. KYMN 1080 AM for almost 50 years, and KYMN 95.1 FM.
95.1.
The One.